Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? It's 3 o'clock, so it's Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Some big economic data dropped today, and of course, that means the freakout has begun. I'm so glad I have a very knowledgeable expert to help us break it all down. Her name is Michelle Evermore. She's a senior fellow at the Century Foundation and a former Biden Department of Labor official. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Michelle. So happy to have you here to help put all of this in context for everyone.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So the anticipated jobs numbers, in other words, and the jobs numbers that we're talking about, let's define what we're actually talking about here, are the monthly job creation numbers. These are generated by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is a part of the federal government, the executive branch, nonpartisan. They give us really good data, so important. These are nerds. God bless them. As a fellow nerd, I like to say that. And the expectation, the prediction was that the newly added jobs numbers would be somewhere north of 100,000. They came in at 12,000, and hence the panic has ensued. Michelle, help put this in context for everybody.
I mean, I'm relatively surprised that despite two major hurricanes and some large labor disputes, the economy still added 12,000 jobs, maintaining the unemployment rate at 4.1%. If you remember, back in July, it was 4.3%. It was 4.2% in August. Overall, this is, to me, boring and stable, and the kind of thing that I like to see as an unemployment insurance expert.
Yeah, the fact and the reason that the jobs numbers, again, are lower are the things that you just mentioned. We had a massive supply chain and labor disruption, talking about the striking longshoremen on the East Coast. And we had, of course, these two massive hurricanes. All of that disrupts and people stop hiring because, you know, they're putting sandbags down and trying to dry out their businesses. Are those the primary causes for this lower than expected jobs report?
That's exactly right. And I would point out that the Boeing strike, which accounts for a huge part of the equation here, is very likely to be over on Monday, as they've got a contract that they're voting on Monday. So, you know, that alone will help solve the problem a little bit. One thing I point out is that Daniel Zhao, a senior economist at Glassdoor, pointed out that the sum rule, which has been triggered on for many months, actually triggered off this month. For those of you not as obsessed with Claudia Sahm as I am, the sum rule is a recession indicator that cues the start of a recession when the three-month moving average of the national unemployment rate rises by half a percentage point or more relative to its average in the previous 12 months, or relative to its low in the previous 12 months, sort of.
It's a relative comparison, right? To D-tech speak this, the SOM rule points to basically a three-month rolling average comparison of unemployment to the prior rolling 3 months. So it's a constantly evolving relative comparison. And when you see big fluctuations, especially downward fluctuations or upward fluctuations, it can be an indicator of whether or not you might be entering or there's a possibility of a recession. We're finally basically in the green zone. Am I getting that correct, Michelle?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is as soft a landing as we could have imagined. And we've had so many consecutive months of economic growth, more than any period in the last 25 years. I don't think a slightly weak jobs report today is really anything anybody should panic about. I mean, if you look at the Dow, it's up. Last I looked, it was up 500 points. And so it looks like investors aren't panicking.
Well, and part of that is because, and we've talked about this on the show before, the Fed is basically trying to balance unemployment and robust employment with interest rate policy. And if you have a, quote, too hot economy, meaning like the economy is booming, there's huge numbers of jobs being added, which tends to indicate, all else being equal, that wages are increasing, there's more money to be spent. They get a little nervous about inflation. So in fact, if you're concerned about inflation, these lower than expected job numbers are actually good news, because it makes it more likely than not, all else being equal, that the Fed is likely to lower interest rates again, perhaps a larger tick down than would have otherwise occurred absent all of these other, frankly, shocks that we had in this last month. Am I getting that part right, Michelle?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the Fed decreased the rate by 50 basis points last month. Folks were expecting the Fed to decrease it by maybe 25 basis points the next couple months. But I think this jobs report might actually mean good things for the interest rate,
yes,
which will make it easier for people to buy things.
Instead of a quarter point percentage rate reduction, when we nerds talk basis points, it's another way of expressing percentages as fractional percentages. So instead of the Fed bringing down the interest rate by just a quarter of a percent, likely, at least some are arguing that it'll be a 0.5% reduction. Again, that's really good for all of you out there. If you've got consumer credit, you got car loans, home equity loans with variable rates, all that kind of good stuff, that's good for you. Interest rates going down. I also, Michelle, being a data nerd, had to go look up some jobs number averages. And since you worked in the Department of Labor in the Biden administration, I wanted to share these with you and ask you if these numbers surprised you at all. When you compare, and again, calculating averages here based on Bureau of Labor Statistics data, the average number of monthly job ads under H.W. Bush, W. Bush, and Trump is under 10,000 a month. That is their average over those administrations. Under Clinton and Obama, the average job ads per month, just over 175,000. So you go from under 10,000 for those Republican administrations to up over 175,000 in the Obama and Clinton administrations. And President Biden, his average job ads per month, upwards of 350,000. So context here matters. I think these averages deeply matter. Michelle, explain why these averages should be really important to every single one of you listening in Wisconsin and beyond, if you're a working person.
Yeah, no, I was around in the late 90s when there was this huge debate over whether it was even possible to have sustained unemployment under 5% and not have massive, massive inflation. And here we've had sustained employment under 5% and decreasing inflation down to like normal levels. And labor force participation is increasing. So the number of people of working age who are either in the workplace or looking for work is at a historic level. And real wages are increasing. So yeah, this is sort of an economic unicorn what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I too, having come up in that early 90s period of economics, remember this debate going on. Could we actually, again, the low sustained unemployment and a low interest rate environment, can it even be done? We're doing it here with rising wages, which again, usually has upward inflationary pressure and a lot of economic growth, GDP growth, as well as productivity growth. It is a very strong economy. To put it in political context, whether you are a worker and you receive a paycheck, or you are a business owner or shareholder, these are all good indicators for you. We're doing well. Now, we need to do far better for working people in this country, whether it be wage policy, how we deal with organized labor, of course, or tax policy. But again, I think the bigger context here is really important. We've also heard a lot of hubbub about jobs number revisions. Can you explain what this is and why that occurs?
Yeah, so the jobs report we saw today is based on two surveys, one of employers and one of employees. And actually, the employer response this month was very low, in the 47.4%. And so what's going to happen is later on, they will take a look at more holistic numbers based on unemployment insurance filings from employers and get a much better picture that's just more complete. And I'm going to warn you right now, because the employers didn't respond to the survey, I expect we'll see a decent revision from this month. And because the employers, I think the employers that didn't respond are employers who have been affected by the hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah. And so despite all of the hysteria that's happening, especially, you know, on one spectrum end of the media talkosphere, Michelle, do listeners, do Wisconsinites, regular working people out there, each and every one of you, should people be worried about a slowing economy, or do we still see, and again, these are all discrete data points, the economy, we have to look at basically at a macro level, but are people looking at a strengthening economy or a slowing economy?
So here's what the larger macroeconomic situation is. Congress and this administration took a bet on very ambitious fiscal policy. We spent a lot of money building roads, building infrastructure, building a green economy that's going to actually have ripple effects in the economy for decades. And we made a bet that we have been a little bit shy about making in the past, right? During the Great Recession, we maybe didn't go as big and as fast. And this time we went big and we went fast, and we see what happened. You can spend your way out of an economic crisis, and that's exactly what we did. And I'm going to quote Jared Bernstein, the chair of the Economic Council on Economic Advisors. He tweeted this morning, upside or downside, we're always going on about not over-torquing on any one month's data. Well, that's especially true for October payrolls heavily impacted by strikes and weather events.
Yep. Very, very to the point he is. I wanted to ask you lastly, we got just about a minute left. Wanted to ask you, we hear a lot of people talk about the amount of money the federal government spends on disaster relief. And certainly everyone intuitively understands and reads this as infrastructure spending to get communities back up and running. But in the long term, how does the federal government help get people back to work if jobs have been lost? How does the government help regular people recover from these disasters? And are we doing enough?
Right. There's something called disaster unemployment assistance that not very many people know about, but people who wouldn't ordinarily be eligible for regular unemployment can apply for and receive this benefit, which is at least equal to regular unemployment. It might be higher if you're on the lower end of the income spectrum because there's a higher benefit minimum. Folks who can't get to their jobs because of the disaster, or lost their jobs because of the disaster, or even lost a job that they were offered because of the disaster, all can apply for and get that benefit, which is really important to the local economy.
As well as the disaster.